Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Extended Hands of God Highway Ministry. It's Friday night. We have Brother Bill Shell from New Burnside, Illinois, with us tonight. But before we turn it over to him, we're going to play one of his songs called When He Was on the Cross. And right after that song, Brother Bill, it's all yours. Amen. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind, and so were you. That is good news tonight, because through that work at the cross, he has purchased for us salvation. Oh, friend, that's the best news that I could share with you this night. There is no better. So please know that, and please find that real in your life tonight. That's why we're here. Honestly, that's why we're here, is to tell somebody that Jesus loves them and is there for them. When he was on the cross, you were on his mind. He cares about your needs. Tonight, we're going to look at the book of Mark, and I'm sure I've probably preached from this passage of text before, I know I have many times in ministry and probably have with this program, to be honest with you. But the Lord has led us back here tonight and has taught us some new things regarding this that I want to share tonight if I can, and kind of set the picture for where we're at. Life is filled with questions, isn't it? We talked tonight before we come to record, we talked about some of the questions that we had. Why are things like they are? I don't have that answer. I really don't. Why doesn't God move faster than he does? I don't have that answer either. I know God has his own timetable, and it's not our timetable. I can assure you of that God's got his own timetable, and he knows what's right. We get impatient sometimes. I do. And probably most everybody else does or another. So, but that's one of the questions we have, is why doesn't God do something right now? We want it right. We need it right now. And legitimately, we do. So it's not, I'm not being unfair about that. That is, we understand that. But for the truth's sake, God has a purpose. I don't know what it is. Don't always know what it is. Once in a while we will, but we don't always know what it is. But we do know this. God still has a plan, and he'll carry it out. Now, what we've got to do is become submissive to that plan. We've got to work in God's plan, and God has a place for us in his plan. So we have to realize that and trust him. So life is filled with lots and lots and lots of questions. You know, questions like, when is all this nonsense across the United States going to end? Coronavirus, when's it going to stop? Well, I wish I had the answer to that. Don't you? I really do. I wish I had the answer to that. When is all of the rioting going to cease? They can call it all a protest if they want to. It's not protest when they're burning buildings. It's not protest when they're shooting people. It's not protest when they're injuring humanity. It's riots. When's the rioting going to stop? I don't know. I wish I could tell you. Questions, all kinds of questions that we've got that we could do not dwell for the hour on. We sure could. But you know what? There's one very important question tonight, and that is the most important question that was ever known to mankind. And I found it in the scripture. I know how important it is. I look at this, and I have declared in my own mind, for me, in my world, this is the most important question that I've ever heard. In chapter number 8 of the book of Mark, reading in verse number 27, it says, "And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, but some says Elias, and others, one of the prophets." Now here it comes, get ready. "And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered and said unto him, Thou art the Christ." Wow, did you get that question? Who do you say that I am? No, what Jesus is saying here, he wasn't asking who somebody else said. He said, it got personal. Who do you say that I am? I looked at this passage of Scripture as we was getting ready for tonight and looked at it for a day or two, and today especially, and tonight especially, trying to look at this and get all that I could about this. And I found some interesting things about this passage of text that I want to get into just a little bit before we address the question that Christ is seeking an answer to. I looked at this verse, and it tells us clearly the location of where all this is taking place. Now, if you note in the scripture, in verse number 27, it says that Jesus and his disciples went to a place called Caesarea Philippi. Now, I don't know how much you know about Caesarea Philippi. I learned a lot about that when I began to research for the message for tonight. I learned that Caesarea Philippi was a pretty interesting place, to be quite honest with you. We know that several things happened there. We know that it was here that the Philippian jailer, when Paul was locked in jail there, this is where the Philippian jailer and his entire household was saved. We know that Lydia, the seller of purple, was from Caesarea Philippi. Many other things that we read about in the scriptures, accounts surrounding Caesarea Philippi. Now, I learned this afternoon that this was not a new community. This was an old community. I learned that it is right up in the corner of Syria and Lebanon. It is north of Jerusalem, approximately 60, 65 miles. It's only about 25 miles from the Sea of Galilee, and this is the farthest northern point that Jesus had taken his disciples. This is as far north as they had gone from Jerusalem. Again, I state this was not a new community. If you go back into the Old Testament, you're going to find this community has quite a varied history. A lot of things went on here under different situations. If you go back into the Old Testament and begin to read about the prophets of Baal and the Baal worship and all the pagan worship and all the sacrifices and even human sacrifice that was made to Baal worship, much of that was done at a place called Caesarea Philippi. It had an earlier name. It was also it's in the region of Dan. So when you begin to read about Dan, you read about Gad, you're looking at the same place. You're looking at the same region, if you will, of Caesarea Philippi. You're going to find that Jeroboam actually built a temple here to Baal. King Jeroboam, which led the people to worship pagan gods, established that ruling in Caesarea Philippi. A lot of things happened here. Now, a lot of New Testament things happened here as well. Things that I was really blown away about when I started looking at this passage of text. If you go there to Caesarea Philippi, you're going to find that it has a rock wall on the back edge of the city area. On that rock wall is approximately 500 feet long, and it's about 100 feet from bottom to top. So it's a stone wall that is in the back of this. And in the middle of that stone wall is a huge cave. In that cave was what they thought to be, and I guess still do from what I understand, there's what they called a bottomless pit in that cave. The entryway of that cave. The people of the Old Testament and of the time of Christ seriously thought that was the gateway to hell. They would use that for animal sacrifice, and they would toss the animals into that bottomless pit. And if the animals sink, then they believe that their pagan gods accepted their sacrifice. Now, they worshipped here at Caesarea Philippi. They worshipped a goat. Honestly, that's and they gave it a name of Pan, P-A-N, P-A-N. The god Pan is who they worshipped, and it was a goat. Many, many things happened surrounding that, and many, many immoral things happened surrounding that. When we see that Jesus comes here to Caesarea Philippi, let's get right back into the text where we were at just a moment ago. Pardon me. When we get right back to the story where we're at here just a moment ago, I want you to note that Jesus has brought his disciples literally to stand before the temple that is marked, is identified for pagan worship. He has brought his disciples to stand before the entrance of what is identified as the gateway to hell. Now, this is important. Where I'm going with this, I've not lost my mind here. This is very important. It was there, in that location, that Jesus announced who he is. It is there that he began to question the disciples, and he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" And they said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And if you read this account that's given to us, you're going to see that Jesus begins to say unto them, "You know what? You have said right," and I'm paraphrasing, "you have said right." He said, and upon this rock, now get that, upon this rock, what rock? We know that he's talking about Jesus being the solid rock, but let's put the context in reality. He's standing in front of the rock ledge that is at Caesarea Philippi. Keep that in mind. And then he says, "We are going to build a church." And note what he says next. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He's standing in front of what is declared to be, in that day, the entrance, the gateway into hell. Jesus went into the enemy territory. No Jew would have gone to Caesarea Philippi. It was such a vile city. There were so many terrible things going on there that any Jew was forbidden to go to Caesarea Philippi. Jesus went into the enemy's camp and not only made declaration, "Here the Son of God has came to take away the sins of the world," but in front of the enemy has powerfully declared, "We are building a church, and there's nothing that Satan can do, there's nothing the enemy can do to stop us." We think about that, and then the question comes to our mind, why did he do that? Well, I'm going to give you an opinion tonight, and you can take it for what it's worth. Jesus did not challenge us to be seat keepers of the church. He challenged us to go into the enemy territory and take back what belongs unto God. He challenged us not to be afraid to face the enemy, not to be afraid to face the obstacles, not to feel like that we're going to be defeated when we go and embarrassed to show our faith in Christ. But he marched right straight into the enemy's camp, and he said, "Here we are. We're here to build a church. We don't care what Satan thinks about it. He's not going to stop it. We're marching on with the church." Do we have that kind of determination tonight? Jesus asked his disciples, "Now, who do men say that I am?" That's a pretty important question, you know it? That's a really important question tonight. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ was the most important person that has ever lived. There's not a doubt in my mind about that. And you know, it's not a doubt also in my mind that in this day, when Jesus was in Caesarea Philippi, the crowds had not yet begun to realize the importance of Christ. But you know what the sad truth is today? They don't know it today either. They don't realize how important that he is. They don't realize that it's going to take Jesus Christ to make it to heaven. They think they're going through life, and then when they get done down here, they're going to be graduated off into that great beyond, and they're going to, have you noticed everybody's going to heaven? I'm going to tell you something. That's not what the Scripture says. But that's the attitude of the world. They've not realized yet the importance of Jesus. It takes Jesus Christ, and we must apply him to our life. He is the most important person this world has ever known. He came to demonstrate unto us this important person. He came to demonstrate to us a way of life that we have never known. He demonstrated love. Boy, he could have hated, you know. He could have hated. He could have hated those Roman soldiers that drove those nails in his hands, but he didn't. He could have hated Judas whenever he turned him over to the angry mob. He could have, but he didn't. Instead, he showed love to those. How about when Peter denied him, had walked with him 3 years and denied him? Jesus could have looked at him and said, "Peter, I hate you." But he didn't. He reached out to him in love and showed him how important that he was, that Peter needed him. We need him too, I'm going to tell you. In a world that's filled with nothing but despair, we needed Jesus to bring hope. Let me tell you something. They were literally without hope. In Caesarea Philippi, we know that the city at this point in the time of Caesarea Philippi, we know that the city was rebuilt and established to give honor unto Caesar. We know that. We know something else. We know that it was Philip who was the ruler over Caesarea Philippi. We read a lot about Philip in the Scripture. We also know that it was a Caesarea Philippi where that King Agrippa established his throne. Paul talks about King Agrippa. It was at Caesarea Philippi that King Agrippa had established his throne. Jesus, in the midst of all of this hopelessness, when the world had gone crazy in that hour, maybe like it's gone crazy in this hour, and nothing was but despair going on around them, Jesus brought hope into their situation. Boy, we need Jesus to bring hope into our situation tonight, don't we? We need that in this land tonight. We need Jesus to come and teach us, as he did 2,000 years ago, that he is a great comforter. We heard of the family today, and there's been many, I'm certain, but we heard of the family today and had prayer for them just a moment ago that had lost a loved one to the COVID virus that's going on around us and is happening all around the world. It's happening every day. You know what they need? They need the comforting hand of Jesus Christ, because let me tell you, in those times, it's going to take the comfort of Jesus to help. Because outside of Christ, there is no comfort. We need that today. We need today to be encouraged. Boy, let me tell you something. We today, I believe, are living in the last days. I'm going to tell you my opinion. You can feel free to disagree with me if you want, but I believe that we are in the last days. We're quickly entering an age that the Bible talks about. Things are changing very rapidly. If you don't believe it, just go down to your local Walmart. See how quickly things are changing. you're going to find that your cash isn't worth a whole lot. We're getting ready to make a major change, you know? And we can see that as it looks like that the enemy is coming against us and that he wants so bad to be the victor in all of this, I'm going to tell you something. He's not the victor. I've read the back of the book. I know who wins. I get it. I look at the word. We need Jesus. Who is he? Well, I'm going to tell you something. He's the one that brings victory into our life when it seems like that we can find no victory. When everything's against us, it is Jesus that brings victory. We need to establish him right away in our life tonight to experience his wonderful victory. This most important man of life will bring us victory. He came on a mission. And you know what his mission was? People, you and I, every one of us, we were on his mind. We sang that song just a moment ago. When he was on the cross, we were on his mind. We were his mission. See, we know that when Christ came, he came to help us. So this question that he's asking, it's personal. I want us to know tonight, it's not a blanket statement. It's a personal statement. It is individually addressed. Look at this. But who say ye that I am? Now let's put that in English of today. Who do you say I am? Who am I to you? You. Y-O-U. Who am I to you? So he is identifying to them. It doesn't matter what somebody else thinks. It doesn't matter what the preacher down on the corner thinks. It doesn't matter even what dad or mom thought. Don't really matter what grandma or grandpa thought. It doesn't matter what Peter thought at this point. It's you. How would we respond to the question? If Christ looked us straight in the eye and said, "Who am I to you?" How would you answer? What would your answer be to that question? Some would stand there and say, "Well, my church teaches that you're..." No, that's not what he's asking. That's not at all what he said. He's not going to accept that because it's personal. You might even say, "Well, the Bible says that you're..." That's not what I ask. I know what the Bible says. Who am I to you? You, personally, you. And he calls us by name. And you know what? We're going to have to answer that. Maybe we don't want to, but we're going to have to. We don't have a choice. We're either going to answer it here, or we're going to answer it that day when we stand before God, when it says that every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, my friend, let me tell you something. On that day, it will be too late. On that day, you will have wasted your day. You will have wasted your day away. But today, that question is being asked. It is an important question coming from the most important person that ever was or ever will be. I want you to know your eternal destiny depends on how you answer the question. Well, that's hard, isn't it? But it's true. But it's true. See, this question concerns the most important commitment that you'll ever make. Some of us have stood before the preacher or stood before the justice of the peace, have stood before somebody, and we've pledged our life to our wife or to her husband. We have. We've made a commitment that we would love them and cherish them and be with them and help them through life's journey. See, that's a commitment that we're making. But this question is even more important than that question that the judge asked you or the preacher asked you. It's more important See, Peter's answer to this was, "You are the Christ." You know what this did? This changed every day of the rest of Peter's life. He was never the same again. It changed his vocation. Peter was a fisherman, and probably a pretty good fisherman from probably all practicalities. He's probably doing okay. Had a family business. But you know what? This question brought forth such a commitment in his life. It changed his vocation. This fisherman, he became the preacher. How about that? And God put him to work and showed him what he was to do. I'm not going to tell you today that God's going to choose you to be the preacher. I'm not going to tell you that. But I am going to tell you that God's going to choose for you to walk with him every day. That your life will change. When Peter answered this question, his life changed. His relationship to his family changed. He thought he loved his family possibly before this day. But on this day, when he found out who Christ was, and the lessons in life that Christ was trying to teach him, he found out that he could love his family more than he had ever loved them before. He found out that to properly care for his family, he had to put God first, because God would teach him how to take care of his family. See, his life changed. This question changed Peter's life in such a way that his everyday changed. Every day. No longer maybe had the bad attitudes. No longer had the despair for the day. No longer maybe just was getting by. But he found out what living was about, because now he was living for Christ. I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ will make a difference in your life. He'll make a difference in who you are. He'll make a difference in what you do. He'll make a difference in the way that you talk, the way that you think, the way that you love your family, the way that you love your community, your fellow man. Jesus will change those things whenever we give him right away in our life. So, you know, the question that he's asking is one of commitment. One of commitment, and it's important. It's important that we answer today. See, Jesus didn't hesitate a moment to walk into the enemy's territories and say, "You know what? I'm here to tell you that I love you. I'm here to tell you that I can help you. I'm here to tell you you don't have to live like you are. I'm here to tell you, you don't have to be defeated. You don't have to be without any hope at all. You don't have to wonder about where you're going to spend eternity. You don't have to worry about even facing the judgment. Now, who was it you said I am? Am I just somebody that you've heard about, read about, or that the church talks about? Or am I somebody important in your life?" That question's still real today. Jesus said, not talking to everybody else here, I'm talking directly to you. Who do you say I am? So who is Jesus in your life? Father, we come to you tonight asking that the word would do its work. Let us determine this night who Jesus is. God, tonight speak to every heart. Father, I pray tonight that we would settle this issue, no doubt in our mind. God, that you would do things in our life tonight, Lord, that has never been done before. We pray that we would leave out of this experience tonight with newfound salvation, newfound commitment, with newfound direction, with newfound hope, with newfound assurance, with a positive handle on eternity, because we're answering the question, who do you say that I am? Tonight, thank you, Lord Jesus. I can testify you're my Savior. You're the Lord of my life. And I thank you for it. May my brothers and sisters tonight that's listening be able to make the same statement. But Lord, if there's one tonight that doesn't know you for sure, tonight, let them call upon you. Let them hear the question, who do you say that I am? And Lord, let them invite you into their life tonight. Let them pray this prayer with us. Lord Jesus, I hear you tonight. I want you to be the Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. You, Lord, tell me in the Word that you will. I believe you are the Son of God, died for me, rose again, and will come into my heart and forgive my sin. Tonight, Father, I thank you for coming into my heart and forgiving my sins. And I will do my best, Lord, to live for you every day from this day forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your kind attention this night.
Amen, Brother Bill.
That was a great message.
If you just prayed that prayer with Brother Bill, you just made the best decision of your life. If you didn't and wanted to, maybe you still have some questions or you just need someone to pray with you, you can call Pastor Skip at 816-729-6649. We'd love to hear from you. Send some literature and a Bible for free to help you out with your new walk with the Lord. We also suggest that you get into a Bible-based church, and we can help you with that as well. And we can start sending pre-recorded messages on CDs. All we need is your address, and we'd love to send them to you. And you can go to extendedhandsofgod.org and find all our contact information on there. We also have a free app. You can download it to your iPhone or Android by searching Extended Hands of God at your app store. On both the app and website, you can listen to all the messages, see who the daily speakers are, and a whole lot more. And you can find Brother Bill Shell on the app and website and on Facebook. And we'd like to thank him for letting us use his music tonight. And you can share this with your friends and family. And thank you again for joining us at Extended Hands of God Highway Ministries. And God bless.